Colossians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verse 16. To begin with, also turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 23. Colossians chapter 2, in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. It says in verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the singing that was done that edified you, and we're thankful for the ones that sang. We're thankful for each person that is here. Thankful for the ones that's next door working with the young people. And Father, we're just thankful for the body that you are building here. And we pray this morning, Lord, as the word goes forth, that you would use it to accomplish that which you intended to accomplish. We'd see someone saved here today as a result of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you'll notice the table this morning, if you come here very long, you'll notice that every Jewish, there are seven feasts of Israel. Every feast day, my mother sets the table for that particular feast. And then we'll give a brief explanation of what the different feast days are all about. Well, what we're doing differently this year than we have in the past is whenever the feast day comes up, we're bringing a message on that particular feast day. The last days, the feast days we looked at was in the spring. We looked at Passover, the feast of Passover. We did that on Easter Sunday. We then looked at the unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread, which was associated with the Passover. And then we looked at the first fruit, offering of the first fruit sheaf there on that week following the Sabbath. So we looked at those three already. So I'm not going to go back and re-explain those feast days. If you was here on Easter, you heard the message on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And if you like those messages, all you have to do is write your name on a clipboard there in the back, and the messages that you want, Brother Timmy can have you a copy of those made. Well, the feast day we're looking at today that we're going to bring out the teaching from today is the Feast of Pentecost. It's also a very, very popular feast day that the Jews observe. But the reason why we're looking at it is in Colossians 2:16, it says that these holy days were shadows of things to come. They picture things. There's as I stand up here, I got my shadow. That's not the real thing. That's merely an image of the real thing. The Old Testament feast days were images or pictures of some great new covenant truth. Of course, we realize that the Passover lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we brought that out in the spring. But the Feast of Pentecost has some beautiful pictures contained in them. And I want to bring out those pictures for you. So we use the feast days, and we're showing what these shadows picture. So we're going to paint pictures for you this morning. We're going to use this as an illustration. And by this, we're going to show you Jesus. It's often said a picture is worth a thousand words. It indeed is. And we're going to show you what the Feast of Pentecost, which God gave to the Jews in the book of Leviticus 23, we're going to show you what that was an image of. So let's turn to Leviticus 23 and let's go ahead and get into our text. I wanted to make this as short and simple as possible, which I know some of you think it's impossible for me to do short anymore, but my voice is a little rusty today and that should help matters also, I guess. Okay? Leviticus chapter 23. Now, I'll put this up here in just a second. I'm going to explain some things first. Let's talk about the time of the Feast of Pentecost. The time of the Feast of Pentecost, when it happened, when it took place. Of course, when we looked at the Passover, it was on the 14th of the month of Nisan, or the month of Abib. The Jews had two calendars. It happened on the 14th, was the Passover night. Then on the 15th, was the first day of unleavened bread. They ate unleavened bread for 7 days. And of course, this being the first day of unleavened bread made it a Sabbath. It was a Sabbath day. You did no work on the first day of unleavened bread or on the last day. So this was a special Sabbath. Then, on the morrow after the Sabbath, was the offering of the first sheaf from the barley harvest. What they would do is they, in the springtime was the Jews' barley harvest, and they would take a sheaf from the barley harvest, grind it into flour, put oil in it, and frankincense in it, and the priest would bring that into the temple, and he would wave that before the Lord. It was a token of thanksgiving for the harvest. He'd also take a handful of the flour and with the oil and the and put it on the altar and burn it up as a token of sweet savor unto the Father. Okay? That's what happened. Of course, the Feast of First Fruits, 1 Corinthians 15 says Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus was crucified on Passover, raised on first fruits. What does that mean? He was the first to resurrect, never to die again. He was the first. There was other people that resurrected, but they died again. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. So from the 16th, counting that day, you would count 50 days. And that would bring you to the Feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecost means 50. And that's how you arrived at the day that you observed this particular day. You would count back 50 days from the day and you'd come to the offering of this first sheaf. Okay? So that's how the time was determined. Now, in Leviticus 16, let's notice what they did at the Feast of Pentecost. This was also a first fruit offering, but it was different from the other offering. Okay? And I want to bring out those things. Let's look at verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, that's after the 16th. Now, it's a great debate, and I still it's hard to settle by listening to the different writers, and if it was debate amongst the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Was the morrow after the Sabbath the regular weekly Sabbath, which would make the first fruits always on Sunday, and the day of Pentecost always on Sunday, if it was? Or was it the morrow after the Sabbath being the Feast of Unleavened Bread Sabbath, the first day? So that's still debated. You can read after different writers, and they each have their own opinion on it. But we do know it come after the Sabbath. Well, exactly which one is hard to determine. The context seems to point to the 16th. Okay? And on top of everything, Brother Obie puts it on the 16th. So that was the writer that I followed with regard to which Sabbath the offering of this sheaf happened in. Okay? So on the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat meal, is the idea of the word meat, a new meal offering unto the Lord. Now, in the springtime, that was the time of the spring harvest. In the summertime, 50 days later, was the time of the wheat harvest. And what the Jews were required to do at the Feast of Pentecost is they were to go and they were to bring out, and you can study this in the passage, they were to take two loaves. And how these loaves were different is they were made with leaven in them. This is more like the bread I like anyway, is it not? We like that big, thick, hot, plumpy kind of bread. Plumpy kind of bread, we do. But it had leaven in it. It had leaven in it. And they would take and they would bake these, and they would put leaven in them, and then they'd bring these two loaves, and the priest would take these two loaves in to the house of God and into the temple, and he would wave these before the Lord. Now, they weren't, you know, I've told you how this was different from the spring harvest offering of the first fruits. That offering was unleavened, and a portion of it was put on the altar. This was leavened, and none of it was to be put on the altar. And we'll explain, that's a picture of something, we'll explain that here in a little bit. But the priest would wave these before the Lord. Okay, now, I just waved them, but that's not the way he waved them. They couldn't be waved by themselves. They had to have something with it. So, with this, two loaves, they would then, I run my thumb through that, is that all right? With those two loaves, there was two lambs for a peace offering, because these wasn't acceptable in and of themselves. So they took two lambs, which was a peace offering, and then these lambs was placed with these leavened loaves, and then it was weighed before the Lord. See that? That's what they did on the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? Now, this is a shadow. This isn't the real thing. But it is a picture of some great New Covenant truths. And that's why the Lord gave it. The problem is because a lot of people say, well, I don't read the Old Testament. You miss out on a lot of blessings. The Old Testament is God's Word too. Foundation for the New Covenant. And these are great pictures. You can go in there and dig out, because I like to look at pictures, don't you? I see Jesus in the Feast of Pentecost. And we're going to use it today to teach you some things about the Lord. Okay? Now, our outline's going to sound funny, but I'll get that back here in just a minute. Here's what the outline's going to be. Two loaves, both leavened. Two loaves with two lambs. Two loaves, one offering. Two loaves, both first fruits. Two loaves, second harvest. All of those. That's going to be the points we're going to make them today. Now, let's look at the first one, two loaves, both leavened. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 3. Keep your place here in Leviticus 23. You can read the rest of Leviticus 23 and you can see what they did on that particular day. Book of Romans chapter 3. Now, both of these loaves, as we've pointed out, was leavened. Of course, leaven is what causes what to rise? Bread to rise. And in Scripture, leaven is a type. And leaven in Scripture is a type of sin. The book of 1 Corinthians 5 says, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. The Corinthian church had sin in it. And they had people that were members of the church that was living in open, unrepentant sin. And the Apostle Paul wrote through the Holy Spirit and said, don't you know that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? When we partake of the communion next week, the bread that we have is like we had on the Passover table, was unleavened. It was flat. Didn't contain any leaven, because we realized that the communion table, the bread pictures the sin-free body of Jesus Christ. So therefore, it's what? It's unleavened. So leaven is a type of sin. So these two loaves don't picture Jesus. Why is that? Because they had what in them? Had leaven in them. They had sin in them. So in no way could it picture our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So what do they picture? Well, it's obvious if they got leaven in them, then it pictures sinners, does it not? Two groups of sinners. And the Bible speaks of two groups of sinners here in the book of Romans chapter 3. And I believe these two pieces of bread is just an illustration of Romans chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 9. What shall we say then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under what? Under sin. So that's the two, that's why you have two loaves. One's a picture of Gentile sinners, and one's a picture of Jew sinners. And both of them have what in them? Oh, both us, Jew and Gentile, we have sin in us. Okay? And that's just an illustration of Romans 3:9. Both Jew and Gentile, we have sin in us. Therefore, you have two loaves with what in it? Leaven. Don't picture Christ in any way, but it does picture us. You can say, does that bread picture me this morning? It sure does. You're leavened. You have sin in it, in you. Okay? Now, the next point we want to see, I'm going to take that off there. Okay? The next point we want to see, two loaves with two lambs. Now let's turn back to Leviticus 23. Now, I'm going to try to do this just as absolutely simple as I can, just so you can get it. I want you to get every drop of this lesson, because I want you to see Jesus in this. You've seen Jesus. We had an excellent service Easter because we've seen Jesus in Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits. If you see Jesus in this, you'll be just as blessed. Okay? Now, when they waved these loaves before the Lord, they weren't acceptable in and of themselves. They were not acceptable in and of themselves. They just couldn't bring them just like they were and say, "Here, Lord, here's your offering," because they had what in them again? They were unacceptable. So what they had to do is they had to take the loaves, and they took two lambs, which were for what kind of, that was a peace offering. You see, folks, here's something you have to understand. The Bible says that because of our sin, that we are at enmity with God. God's wrath abides upon us because of our sin. And I'm going to tell you something today. The most important thing in the world is to have peace with God. You got to have peace with God. Sometimes when people are passing, people will say, "Have you made your peace?" And you can see from this how you can have the peace. I can't go to heaven the way that I am. Or something has to be done about Jeff Arthur's sin problem. I sinned. I broke His law. I'm leavened. I'm unacceptable to God in the way that I am. I need something done with my sin. And guess what happened? God provided someone to take care of my sin problem. And that was Jesus, who is also called the what? He's called the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So, with this offering, they placed the lamb with the two loaves, actually two lambs, and they waved them before the Lord, and that made the loaf acceptable. Say that with me. That made the loaf acceptable. Without the lamb, it's unacceptable. Now, let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Book of Colossians, chapter 1. You need today to have peace with God. You say, "Jeff, do you have peace with God?" I sure do. Because I've trusted the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' offering on the cross was a sin offering, but it was also a peace offering. The only way that you can have peace with the Father is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Through His death on Calvary's cross and His resurrection from the dead, that's how a sinner has peace with God, and the only way that you can have peace with God. Notice what it says here in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 20 and 21. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether things in heaven or things in earth or things in heaven. And you who were alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath He done what? He reconciled you." You know what, folks? When you're talking about Jeff Arthur and God, that's two opposites. He's totally good and righteous and holy, and old Jeff is totally a sinner. Totally. Alienated and an enemy, the Colossians chapter 1 says. But I've been reconciled to God. I've been reconciled to Him. In order to be reconciled, something had to be done about this old leavened loaf sin. And Jesus was the answer for that. The Lamb of God shed His blood on Calvary's cross to take care of Jeff Arthur's sin problem. And that's why these leavened loaves are pictured as being covered by what? Covered by the Lamb. One thing this morning you need to really understand. You're either covered by the Lamb or you're not. You either have your sins paid for or you don't. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's the only way that you can be acceptable in the eyes of God. The book of Ephesians 1 says He's made us accepted in the what? In the Beloved. Outside of Jesus Christ, you're unacceptable. You must have the Lamb. You must trust Him. You must be covered by His blood in order to be acceptable with God. Do you see that today? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 that there's going to be many, not a few, many religious people that one day will stand before Jesus Christ and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name? We preached in Your name. In Your name we casted out demons. And in Your name we done many wonderful works. And Jesus will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You say, well, they had good works. They sure did. You say they preached in the Lord's name. They sure did. But did you hear any mention whatsoever there of Jesus? You see, Jesus is who makes you acceptable with God. Without Him, you're unacceptable. Jesus is the one that makes you fit. Without Jesus, you're not fit for heaven. Jesus is the one that made the way. And you got to go over that way. And that's pictured by these two loaves. Unacceptable without the what? Without the Lamb. You're unacceptable without the Lamb. And you need to trust the Lamb of God today, the Lord Jesus, and that makes you acceptable. In the Gospel of John chapter 14, one of the most famous passages of Scripture in God's Word. John 14, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansion, dwelling places. Means there's plenty of room. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Most people think what the Lord did was went to heaven and started building us governor's mansions. Took a hammer and nails and the Lord built me a mansion there. The word mansion means a dwelling place. And Jesus said there was plenty of room there already. But there wasn't no place for Jeff Arthur because of his sin. When Jesus said that in John 14, He was in the upper room. And the next day, guess where Jesus was going to be? He was going to be on the cross. And that's where He prepared your place. I have no place in heaven because of my sin. But Jesus prepared me a place when He died on the cross and paid my sin debt. All God's people said. Do you see that? The only way that I have a place in the Father's house is because Jesus made the way on the cross. And that's why the leavened loaves were covered by the lambs. Do you see that? Do you see Jesus in that? If you did, then I can leave this place a happy man today. Two loaves, one offering. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I hope you're still in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2. Though these were two, picture two bodies of sinners, the Gentiles and the Jews. Yet the offering of the Pentecost first fruit was considered one offering, not two different ones. Are you with me? They were considered one. You have a picture of both the Gentile. You have Gentile and Jewish sinners, both covered by the Lamb, being offered together unto God. There's one offering. Two loaves, one offering. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, it says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off, that's talking about Gentiles, are made near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. Who's our peace? Jesus is our peace. Without Jesus, you have no peace. You have no peace with God without Jesus. He is our peace, who hath made both what? He's made both one. Both Jew and Gentile are one now under the new covenant. That wasn't true under the old covenant. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Stop. If you'll look at an old map of the temple, you'll see it. And there's a big, about a 3 foot, I can't remember the exact size, 3 or 4 foot wall that was at the temple. And it was called the court of the Gentiles. And you, a Gentile, I'm a Gentile. A Gentile is just someone that wasn't a Jew. And a Gentile could just come to that wall. You couldn't go in any farther. Or it, by order of death. The Gentiles could just go so far. The Gentiles couldn't worship with the Jews. They were basically, they just had, they could go so far. Well, here, when you read that in Ephesians 2, it says He broke down that middle wall. That's the wall He's speaking of. He broke that down, and He did that under the new covenant. And He made us both, He made us both one. Has He done that under the new covenant? Has He made us both one? The Gentile and the Jews alike. We're both sinners, Romans 3:9 says. We're both pictured as leavened loaves. But you know something? We're both saved the exact same way. He had two different bodies, but both of them were covered by what? Both saved the same way. Both covered by the lambs. Now, we're one now. They're saved Jews and they're saved Gentiles, but we're both one. We've both been saved the same way. We're fellow citizens. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. Fellow what? Fellow citizens. Ephesians chapter 2 says, verse 19, "Now therefore you're no more strangers and pilgrims, but fellow citizens with the saints." You're a fellow citizen. You're a part of Israel. You're a Jew. As a matter of fact, we say that there's Jewish Christians and there's Gentile Christians, but in the true sense of the New Testament, are we not both Jews? So He's made both of us one. Two loaves, one offering. Now turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Two loaves, both first fruits. Book of James, chapter 1. Everybody see the picture so far? Both leavened loaves, made acceptable by the Lamb. Both are one offering, though. They've been made both one under the new covenant because of the Lamb. But both these loaves were first fruits. They came from the wheat harvest, that which was first ripe. Do you know who chose the first fruits? Jesus did. Those two loaves, which were called the first fruits, were chosen by God to be His. And they were considered devoted to God and holy unto God. They were. The first fruits was also considered the very best. When you look at the book of Numbers chapter 18, when it tells them to bring the first fruits of the oil and first fruits of the wine and the first fruits of these things, it says, goes on to describe it as the best. The first fruits was chosen by God to be His, and then they were considered the very best. Okay? Now, is that true of us? Is that true of us? Did God choose us to be His first fruits? Well, He sure did. He sure did. Look at the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I'll come back here to this passage. Ephesians chapter 1. Keep your place here in the book of James here. That's what it says in verse 4. Now just look at the verse. I can get you a tape on this too if you'd like it. Brother Timmy can. But notice what it says. This is a blessing. It says in verse 4, "According as He," who's the He? Jesus, God. It's talking about Jesus in verse, it's talking about God and Jesus in verse 3. "He hath chosen us." Who? "He hath chosen us in Him." When did He do that? "Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." That's the first fruit. He chose us to be devoted unto Him. Now, look at the book of James chapter 1, what it says. Now, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 18, I'm sorry. Notice what it says. "Of His own will begat us with the word of truth." How does the Lord save somebody? He does it with the word of truth. As the word of God goes forth, the Holy Spirit takes the word and opens the heart and draws the person. "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of" what? First fruits of His creatures. Has God created a lot of creatures? But Christians are the first fruits of them. What does that mean, they're the first fruits of them? They're the very best. They're the very best of all of His creation, of all of His creatures. they're the first fruits. They're considered the very best. You say, well, did God choose us because we're the very best? No. He made us the very best. We're made the very best in Christ. Man, I was an old leaven loaf. I was an old, dead, depraved sinner. But because of the grace of God, He sent His Son to die for me. All God's people say it. Do you see that? So, oh, I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. Yeah, you are a sinner and you were saved by grace. But God's made you the very best of His creatures because of Christ. I like that. That's a first fruit. That's why He calls us the first fruits. Everybody see that? God can take someone that has a life that is, and in their life they're lowly and no good and worthless. He can make them the very best. Y'all believe that? He does it an awful lot. I was listening to some of our young people talk about Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, written by a man that was a slave ship captain. A great sinner. And God took an old wicked man such as that and saved him and made him a first fruit. Made him an article of His grace, which is the same thing that He's did for us. Two loaves, both of them first fruits. Finally, two loaves, second harvest. This is in 1 Corinthians 15. This is the last one. Everybody see the one so far? You see Jesus in them, and do you see what Jesus has done? He chose you to be a first fruit unto Him. And that's the reason why that you're devoted to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, back in the spring, 50 days earlier, we talked about the first fruits of the first harvest of the year, which was the barley harvest. And that first fruit pictured whose resurrection? Jesus' resurrection. Now, from that day, they counted 50 days. All right? And when you came to the 50th day, that was the time of their second harvest. Are you with me? You wouldn't have this second harvest if you never had that other harvest. Are you with me? You wouldn't have the second one. You wouldn't have the fifth. Let's put it another way. You wouldn't have the 50th day, Bruce, if you didn't have the first day. Because of the first day, you have the 50th day. Okay? In the springtime, at the offering of the barley sheaf was a picture of Christ. His body in the barley, at the barley harvest, that was during the time of unleavened bread. There wasn't no leaven in their house. That pictured Christ's body. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice what it says in verse 20. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again, as we said back in the spring and as we said this morning. From that day that they celebrated that first fruit offering, they counted 50 days, and it brought us to another first fruit offering. It was a first fruit offering of two leavened loaves covered by a lamb. It's also a picture of a resurrection too. Notice what it says in verse 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at His coming. The feast of Pentecost is also a picture of a resurrection. The first day back here pictured the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we come to the second time of the second harvest, the time of the offering of the two leavened loaves as first fruits, that's a picture of the resurrection of the saved. Two harvests, two first fruit offerings, two resurrections. Do you see it? You wouldn't have the 50th day if you never had the first day. You wouldn't have a coming resurrection if it wasn't for Jesus. One of the saddest times in the world is whenever we have a loved one pass and leave, their spirit leaves their body and it goes to be with the Lord. And many of us over the years have went through many times such as that. And you go down there to that old graveyard and you take someone's body that you loved and you hugged and you kissed and was dear to you, and you take them and you put them down in the ground. Y'all think that's sad? That breaks my heart. But at the same time, there's coming a day that seed you put in the ground, because Jesus resurrected, there's coming a day that body is going to come out of the ground if they knew Christ while they lived. Come out. I've mentioned this so many times in the past to you. When I see a cemetery, I see a garden planted full seed. That one day when Jesus Christ comes again, the grave will be open and out of there will come a new body. A body that won't get sick, a body that won't age. Don't you love aging? A body that won't die or suffer or experience pain when Jesus comes again. That's what's pictured by Pentecost, the resurrection of the saved. It's linked with the other first fruit offering because it's counted from it. You wouldn't have it if it wasn't for this one. They're linked together. One is a picture of Jesus' resurrection. The second is a picture of our coming resurrection. Old Jeff would die today. That which give this body life goes to be with Jesus immediately. Wouldn't it be absolutely awesome? I mean, we can't imagine one day we'll know it. To close your eyes in this life and then to open them back up and be in paradise. Can you imagine? Do you have that expectation? Do you have that hope of knowing that? And then they take my body and put it down in the ground, and then you think, boy, but one day there's a new body going to come out of there. I'm going to get a new body. A new one. Not defiled by sin. With no sin. I'm not going to sin no more. It's not going to have no evil thoughts, and it's never going to die. Isn't that wonderful? Look at me. I look forward to that. And that's a real hope that I have, a real expectation I have. Let me ask you a question. What are you looking forward to this morning? Why? I'm looking forward to retiring. And I'm going to give me a house by the lake, and I'm going to fish. All right? How long is that going to last? A lot of times those earthly retirements don't last very long. If it lasts 10 years, though, you've got 10 years of fishing, and then you're going to die and go out into eternity. Then what? I'm talking about something that's forever. Do you have it? I'm talking about everlasting life. Is that your expectation? What are you looking forward to? You know, each tick of the clock brings me closer to my eternal home. If you don't know Christ, each tick of the clock brings you closer to your eternity, and you'll lose everything, including your own soul. Do you see the Feast of Pentecost? Do you see the picture of your resurrection? Do you see the pictures of Jesus and being covered by the Lamb? Is that not a beautiful picture? Do you see the shadows of things to come? All we did was paint a picture and just use the old covenant to teach it. And I pray that it was a blessing to you today. Let's all stand.